Good morning. My name is Charles Morgan. I'm with Word is Alive Ministries. Welcome to our broadcast this morning. This morning we're going to be in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, Matthew 9, 36. It says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest." Now this came after a lot of people were bringing other people to Jesus. He'd been curing people from different things. There was a dumb guy which he couldn't speak. He had a devil and he cast him out and he was able to speak. And then they said it was never so seen in Israel that he was doing amazing things. People were just looking at it and they were just astonished, and they were bringing him, and there was a multitude of people. And Jesus looked on them, as we see here, and was moved with compassion on them, because he saw them, and they were just coming, wave after wave of people coming to Jesus because they wanted healed. They wanted something, either a friend, themselves, whoever it was. There was a great number of people. And he looked at them, he had compassion on them. And the reason he says this is because they were just kind of milling around. They didn't seem to have any direction or anything. He said, as a bunch of sheep without a shepherd, without leadership, there's chaos. There's no organization. There's no direction. It doesn't move correctly. That's the reason that God put pastors over churches, because there needs to be leadership. There has to be that leadership in order for the focus to be right. Countries have leaders, and sometimes good, sometimes bad, and same thing with churches. It's the same thing, but there needs to be a leader. And he said that they were scattered abroad, and so he was looking at them. And then he gives something to his disciples. He was always teaching them. He was always directing them, giving them something that they would be able to go by when he wasn't there. And they didn't even realize that, but this was why he was doing it. And he says something to them. He said, "The harvest truly is plenteous." Now, he wasn't talking about a true harvest of grain or anything like that. He was talking about the people. That's what he's saying. He looked at these people and he said, "The harvest is truly plenteous. There's a lot of it. There's a lot there." Over in John, it talks about the harvest is white. It's white unto harvest. And John 4 and 35, and it talks about this, that it's white unto harvest. It said, "Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." And so he's saying this, they're ready to go. Now, I grew up in a time where there was a lot of cotton being planted, and this really means a lot to me, because you could look out and you could see the white when it was ready to harvest. We took a trip not long ago, and we were looking at the cotton fields, and you could see it was ready. And we thought about this verse. It's white unto harvest. It's ready to go. And you always look for that. When those bowls popped open, it's ready to harvest. Back then, people came in and picked it. And when it popped open, when they were ready to go, you wanted to get on it as quick as possible, get it out of the field, and get it to the gin and ready to go. Jesus is talking about this harvest of people, and it's all around us. Folks, it's all always here. And he said, "But the laborers are few." Now we could say, well, it could happen. It could not happen. We've had revivals where there were a lot of people saved, and people were like, "Oh, well, I can't hardly believe that, and maybe you didn't expect it." And I got to thinking about, I love to hunt. And when I go out to hunt, I was telling my wife, I always have this feeling that this is going to be it. This is going to be the time. I'm going to see the big buck out there. I'm going to see whatever I'm hunting. I'm going to see it. I always have this expectation, anticipation of there going to be something to harvest there. And I may go out and sometimes I don't see it. I think the problem we've got in a lot of our churches and amongst a lot of our Christians is they don't have that anticipation. They don't have that expectation of anything going to happen, because they say, well, it's not going to. Jesus was telling his disciples, be ready. Be ready. Get ready. It's ready to harvest. It's there. We need to be going out. when he talked to his disciples before he left, he told them, go ye into all the world and preach and teach and see them baptized and teach them. He said, go out there and get it done. This is what we need to do, folks. We need to go out there and we need to be ready for harvest. When farmers harvest, they go out there, they don't know the yield, but they're expecting a good yield. They want a good yield. So they go out there, they harvest their crops and see what it's going to be. Folks, we need to get out there. We need to do what we're supposed to do. Since the laborers are few, well, don't be discouraged by that. Be encouraged if you are one of those laborers. Be encouraged that you can get to do that, that you should be able to do that. And praise God that you can do it. And he said, they are few. And it seems like they're getting fewer. I understand that. I understand that we can get depressed a little bit by saying, well, there's not as many people as there used to be working, you know, but it's okay. Get out there and do it. You know, you can get that person in there that fires everybody up. And we are terrible about when somebody gets fired up, we don't like it, especially if they're more fired up than we are. And we use that term fired up and denote someone that's enthused and ready to go and excited about it. And we see them and I've heard it all my life. Well, that won't last long. You know, that'll go away. And all these kinds of things, you know, that we shouldn't be saying. If you can't be getting excited about things, at least stoke somebody else's fire. Be on board with them. Pray for them. Pat them on the back. Tell them you're glad that they're getting out there, that they're doing something, that they're going and they're telling people about Jesus, that maybe they're organizing something. Maybe they got a Bible study they want to do. It doesn't matter what's going on. If you can't be the one that's enthused about it, number one, you probably need to get saved. But if maybe there's some reason you can't do it, well, help somebody else out. Tell them that you appreciate them. You know, I found in my life that does a lot of good. If you'll just walk up to someone and tell them, I appreciate you. I appreciate what you do. I appreciate how you do it. Appreciate the fact that you come in here every Sunday or every Wednesday or whatever it is. I appreciate the fact that you go out there and you talk to people. You may not be that person that's gifted to go out and just grab somebody and pull them aside and say, hey, do you know about Jesus? We're not all gifted that way. I know people that are. I'm not especially. It's an effort for me to do that. I find other ways to do that. But find your way. Find what God has given you, and he's given you a gift to use, and do that. Be that laborer that he wants you to be. You may do one thing, and somebody else does something else. He talks about, you know, that there's planters and there's waterers, and each one is supposed to do what they're supposed to do. I was talking about when I was a kid that these cotton fields would get ripe, and well, people would come from everywhere and they would come in there ready to pick because that was what they were supposed to do. They'd come in with their toe sacks and if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, too bad. And they would go down through the fields and they would pick, you know, and somebody had already planted that. Somebody had already nurtured it. Somebody went out and chopped it, you know, and chopping, you go in with a hoe and you space them out and you get rid of the weeds. So somebody had already taken care of that, but they needed people to come in and pick this cotton. They need to do that. So use the gift that God has given you. Be that laborer that he wants you to be. Don't be trying to be like somebody else. You know, don't get up there and try to lead singing if you can't sing a lick. Don't be trying to preach if you're not called to preach. Don't be trying to do those things. Do what God wants you to do. And each person has got that talent. I've got friends. They're just, you know, I got especially one buddy. I tell him he's got the gift of gab and he can talk to anybody. We go to places together. People will remember him that we both talk to. They won't remember me. That's okay. He's got that kind of personality. God has gifted him that way. You know, but do whatever you're supposed to do. The labors are few. He gives a command here. He says, pray ye therefore the Lord. We need to be praying about these things. We need to be praying about the harvest and praying that God will do certain things. You know, if your church is getting ready to have a revival and you haven't prayed about it, you're not prepared. If your entire church has not been praying for it, you're not prepared. You should be praying before you have the revival, before you even get ready for it. You should be praying during the revival. You should be praying after the revival that you can still continue to reach those people and always be praying. It says, pray ye therefore the Lord. You got to take it to him. Take it to him and tell him, you know, Lord, we're desirous of this. We want to see a great harvest. Revivals anymore just seem perfunctory. You know, oh yeah, we're supposed to have a revival. We'll just have one. And hopefully the visitors come up. And most of the time in churches, the visitors outnumber the church members. Even though the church members voted on it and said, yeah, we want to have one. And they got the guy in there that they wanted and said, oh yeah, we want this guy. And then when they didn't show up next Sunday, you talked to them. Oh yeah, you know, I was going to come, but you know, I had this and that and I just couldn't make it. You've known this for almost a year or maybe a year and you couldn't make arrangements to be there. You didn't want to be. We don't want revivals in churches. It's the reason we're not having revivals. We need to be praying to God that we have a revival in our nation, that we'll get back to God, especially in our churches. Our churches are lacking, folks. They are extremely lacking, especially in this time that we're in right now. They don't truly want to see a harvest. And you say, well, how do you know that? Because they don't work for it. They don't want to. They may have their little programs and they have their little picky things that they like to do and say, well, this is it. But it's all about them. It's all about their church and how are we going to get people in here, and we're going to excite the folks, you know. How about praying that people get excited instead of saying, "Oh, well, let's have the biggest picnic that we can have, or give them the biggest burger here." Why don't we be praying to God that we can excite them with the Word of God, that we can give them that we can have a true harvest? He said, "Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest." Jesus is the harvester; it's His harvest. Now, we're supposed to be bringing it in for Him. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go out there. He told us to go. It's very emphatic. Go. Go ye therefore. Not sit back and wait or, well, you know, put out a good flyer or whatever it is, you know, or put something on your sign that's attractive to them. No, it says, go ye therefore. It says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. And there's a specific prayer here that He will send forth laborers, that He will send forth laborers. Folks, He's sending forth people. We need to be ready for them. We need to be out there. He said that He will send forth laborers unto His harvest. I think one of the reasons we're not seeing a lot of pastors right now is He's not sending them because people don't want it. They don't want it. They're not ready for it. They want to go into their church and they want to sit in their pew or in their pew, not somebody else's pew. It's their pew and you better not sit in their pew. They just want to sit back. They want to enjoy the fruits of Jesus Christ without ever having to do anything. They don't want to see people truly saved. They want to see people added to the roll book. They don't want to see salvations. They just want to see a roll book. You know, we had a lot of people there this week. That's not what it's about. How about seeing souls saved? How about lives being transformed? How about families coming in and worshiping together because they all got saved together and they want to come in and worship Christ together and that they worship together as a family at home as well? How about getting excited about those things? How about looking into those things and saying, Lord, we need that kind of harvest. What are we really looking for? What kind of harvest are you looking for? Are you even looking for it? If you're a child of God, I want to ask you a question right now. Have you ever told anyone about Jesus? I'm not talking about inviting them to church. A lot of people think that is telling someone about Jesus. That's not witnessing. That's not giving them the true gospel message. I'm talking you have talked to someone about Jesus. You asked them about their salvation. You said, hey, if you died today, would you go to heaven or hell? And had an answer for them when they said, I don't know. You know, do you want to? George Barna does surveys and he found out that most Christians never have shared their faith with anybody. And more astounding than that is most of them don't even want to and don't even intend to. They think it's someone else's responsibility. They think someone else is going to do that. They put it off on somebody else. If somebody wants to know about Jesus Christ, they'll get on the telephone and call and say, hey, you need to come talk to this person. They can't even relate that to anyone at any time. We need to get to the point where we're ready to go. Get you some verses, carry you a little Bible with you, whatever you have to do. It doesn't matter. Be ready for the harvest when it gets ready. And it's why Jesus is saying it's ready right now. Go to it. You don't have to wait. You don't have to say, oh, well, you know, we, you know, and as John, he talks about that. Don't be saying, wait for that time. He said, say ye not, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. He said, don't be saying that. He said, it's ready right now. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Look out right now. He said, you need to be paying attention. Look up. I told you we drove by these fields and they were just ready. Some of them had already been harvested and we were saying, that one's ready right now. But it had rained and I'm sure that they were waiting to get in there. They were ready to go after it and get the rest of it harvested. Jesus is saying, don't be saying, oh, well, you know, when it gets time, we'll do that. Oh, when we have a revival, I'll talk to somebody about Jesus. Or when we, have a special service. No, he's saying, lift up your eyes right now. I want everyone to be thinking about this. Do you know someone that's lost? Maybe you're listening to my voice right now and you're going, what is this lost? That means you have not accepted Christ as your Savior. You don't have the assurance that you know you're going to heaven, that you have that free gift of God that's Jesus Christ our Lord, and you need Him. That's what lost is. That means you've separated from Him. And how did you get separated from Him? You were born that way. The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's who we need to get out. All have sinned. All. That's who our harvest is. We need to get out there and look for that. Jesus says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Church, wake up. Christian, wake up. Look out. Look at the fields. Don't be just saying, oh, well, it's somebody else. No, he says, look at the fields right now. Farmers look at their fields and they wait and they know when it's ready to go. I've got friends and they'll tell me, oh, we're getting ready to go. And you know, we're going to hit it as soon as this happens, you know, and we're gone. We're going to start in. And once they start in, they don't want to stop until it's done. That's the way we ought to be. We ought to be looking at these fields right now. He said, they're white, all ready to harvest. They're ready to go right now. We ought to be looking out at this world and saying, you know what? We are ready because that is ready. That field is ready. Those people are out there. Hey, if they've got a pulse, they're ready. They're ready to hear the gospel message. You say, well, will they all accept Jesus Christ? No, they won't, because the Bible tells us that. It said few are going to be the ones that find it. They're going to be, and you're not going to get to everyone. I've talked to people before and they said, I've been telling people about Jesus for 30, 40 years, 50, whatever it is. No one's ever accepted Christ. Well, that's okay. Maybe you planted that seed. Someone else saw the harvest. It's not our harvest anyway. It's Jesus's harvest. I've talked to a lot of people about Jesus Christ. I've been with a few that did accept Jesus. I've been with some that told me flat up, I don't even want to hear that. I've had people yell at me. I've had people tell me, well, I'll try it sometime, you know, or whatever excuse it is. Had people tell me, well, you know, I'll think about it. All kinds of things. Apostle Paul had the same thing. Not everyone accepted Christ, and not everyone accepted Christ when he was right here. Some of them rejected him. Some of them would look on him and say, we don't want to hear that. In fact, over in Matthew, if you read up above that, he was casting out demons and devils, and the Pharisees were accusing him of using Satan to do that. They were saying, well, he's using the prince of the devil. That's the reason he's able to do that. See, they were jealous of him. So there were those that did not accept Jesus Christ. Right when he was there, right when he was doing things, right in front of them, they didn't want to accept it. So don't use that as an excuse either. Don't say, well, no one will accept Jesus, you know, when I tell them, or I don't have anything to tell them. If you've got a salvation story, you've got something to tell them. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to do any of that. Your tool for the harvest is you and your story. Tell them what Jesus has done in your life. Or maybe you know someone that Jesus has done something great. But if you tell them your story, they can't deny that. They may look at the Bible and go, I don't want to hear that. It's this, it's that. Maybe they've heard some things. They'll tell you some things about the Bible. But you tell them your story, they can't deny that. That's your story. They may say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, it's true. It's me. I'm standing right in front of you. I can tell you what he did in my life. I can tell you what he continues to do in my life. Give them that story. Let them know. that harvest is right there. Give them some reasons why they need to accept Jesus Christ. Don't just go out there and go, hey, yeah, I know Jesus and you need to know Jesus. Give them something. Tell them the truth. Tell them what is right. The gospel. Gospel means good news. Tell them the good news. Jesus said, pray that he'll send those that will labor. That's who he's looking for. Somebody that'll labor. He's not looking for a Bible scholar. He's looking for somebody that's ready to go to work. You drive by and go, hey, come on, jump in the car. We got some work ready. You know, when I was a boy, when they harvested hay and they'd bale it up, you know, and back then it was square bales. They'd just start calling young guys up. Hey, do you want to go work? My grandpa would tell me, call some of your friends. Get your cousins. You know, we would get out there. He just wanted some laborers, somebody that was willing to go out and work. Even if they'd never been in a hayfield, and there were some that were like that, well, you could teach them. You could tell them, hey, this is how you do it. Just take this, put it up here, you know, and the other guy's going to stack it. It's okay. Jesus is looking for laborers. Those that say, hey, here I am, Lord, send me. Send me. I'll do it. Just tell me where to go. Tell me what to do. And you can get some training. Get you a mentor. Someone will help you out and show you what to do. He's just looking for laborers. He said the fourth laborers into his harvest. Teach them. Teach them. If you got someone in your church that's ready to labor, grab a hold of them and say, let me tell you something. Let me show you something. Go with me and I will show you. That's great. If you have a gift of witnessing to just anybody, grab somebody and take them with you. Let them watch you. And they'll be amazed. They'll be amazed that you can do it. You know, it's simple, really. All you have to do is you have to talk to somebody. And all you have to do is ask them a few questions. You know, just look at them. Do you know Jesus Christ? You know, you may have to work into it, but it's just that simple. Just say, hey, can I ask you a question? You know, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? I want to ask you right now. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? If you say, well, I don't know, or I think so, you need to get Jesus. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and truly died, rose from the dead to give us a chance at salvation, that free gift. Says the wages of that sin that I talked about a while ago, that everyone is a sinner. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Anybody not want to live forever? He said eternal life. And eternal life is eternal. Eternal is a hard thing to accept. See, that's what we're taking out there to people. For the harvest. Some will accept it. Some will say yes, you know. And it may be somebody that somebody's talked to. I've talked to people and they said, yeah, somebody already talked to me and I've been thinking about this. And you know, we call that being under conviction. All that means is the Holy Spirit is pulling them in. They've heard the message and they are being pulled in to God. And God's just saying, yeah, I'm right here. I'm right here. You know, you may plant that. Somebody may come along and water it. Somebody may see that harvest. Whatever it is, get out there and labor. That's what Jesus is talking to his disciples about. He said, hey, it's going to be few. Don't get discouraged, church. Don't get discouraged, Christian. Get out there and do it. It's easy to get discouraged, especially when you feel like you're all by yourself, that nobody else is helping you. You know, if you'll get out there, maybe somebody else will too. Maybe you need to grab somebody and say, hey, come on, just like in that hayfield. Hey, come on, come on. Let's just come out here. Come out here. I'll show you how to do this. Don't just sit there. You know, an active church will see some salvations. An inactive church will die. That's all there is to it. And Jesus knew that. So he says, this is it. This is it. Don't say that harvest is coming. Know that it's right now. And know that it's ready. And Jesus is even talking about one soweth, another reapeth. Plant those seeds. Give everyone the message of Jesus Christ. Take it to them and say, hey, I have the good news. That's what gospel is. Good news. We've got the best news. We've got the best news that will ever hit the earth. You know, if you had a cure for the most dread disease, which is cancer, and you knew it would cure, wouldn't you tell everybody? Or would you say, oh, well, they'll figure it out on their own? No, you'd be telling everybody you knew. You'd be telling everybody to help tell somebody else. That's what this is. Death is 100%. And we need to tell people, before you die this physical death, you're going to make a decision. You're going to make a decision for Christ or against Christ. And if you say, well, I'm going to just wait, you've made it against him. You've already made your decision. You need to make it today. Won't you accept Jesus Christ? The Bible talks about this. It said, if you confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then you'll be harvested. You'll be ready to go. You'll have a home in heaven, and Jesus Christ will be there. And it says that you'll be with him forever and ever, for eternity. But if you reject him, you will go to hell. You'll stand at that great white throne of judgment, and you will go to hell, a hell that was made for Satan and his demons, and you'll be eternal punishment away from God forever. But you don't have to do that. Just accept Jesus Christ. Say, I want to be part of this harvest. Folks, that's life and death that we're dealing with. We need to take it to him. Harvest is plenteous. Labors are few. Fact. But Jesus says, pray that laborers will come. If you're one of those laborers and you've been out there laboring, well, keep on doing it. Keep on going out there. Keep on doing what you're doing. Taking that word out there constantly. Don't give up. Continue to do it. If you're one of those that have been sitting back and you've never done it, get off your backside and do something. Get out there and tell somebody about Jesus. Pass out tracts, whatever you have to do to get the word out there. Pat somebody else on the back and tell them you're appreciative that they are doing it. Instead of just sitting there doing nothing, take it out there and give it to somebody. Jesus looked upon these people and he had compassion on them. We need to have compassion on man. We need to have compassion for people. Why do people act like they do? Because they don't have Jesus Christ. That's just bottom line. We need to let them know there's something better. We need to let them know that Jesus is real to us. And if he's real to us, we're going to go out there. We need to let them know that we have that peace that goes beyond understanding. Pray the Lord of the harvest will send those laborers. Folks, if we pray, we will get results. There is no doubt about it. If we pray, we will get those results. Don't be saying, not ready for harvest. People are just not ready. No, Jesus said, the fields are ready. Take the time, look out there, and you don't have to look very far, and you'll see somebody that needs Jesus. Pray before you leave the house. Lord, give me somebody to talk to today. And then be ready, because he's going to give you somebody to talk to. Just look around. Look at the fields. Know that they're white, unharvested. They're ready to go. And then go out and do it. That's what it amounts to. Do it. Don't sit back. Do it. Jesus said he wants laborers. Step up. Go to your pastor. Tell him I'm ready to do something. Go to your Sunday school teacher. I'm ready to do something. Go to your mentor, someone that means somebody something to you, and say, I'm ready to get out there. I'm ready to do it. Sit down, pray, go to somebody and do it. That's what it amounts to. We're dealing with life or death. Hope that this has meant something to you this morning. If you don't know that you're saved, you need to accept Jesus Christ today. If you did, let us know about it. You can look on Facebook or whatever you want to with Word is Live Ministries. Let us know that you accepted Jesus Christ. We would love to hear that. Maybe you decided you're going to do something. Let us know. Maybe you need prayer. Let us know about that. Well, thank you for allowing me to be with you today. My name is Charles Morgan. I'm with Word is Live Ministries. May God bless you.